joining us today on the summit is Claire Edwards. Claire, welcome.
Thank you.
So you worked at the UN for 18 years, right? And you never desired to be a leader and very outspoken, doing talks all over Europe and an activist, essentially, for this 5G focus, right? I mean, this is something that just fell on your lap.
Absolutely. The accidental activist, Josh.
That's right. I can relate to that. Happened to me about 7 years ago. And for our viewing audience, I'm just going to read your bio and introduce them to you, or you to them, rather. So Claire Edwards worked for the United Nations as editor and trainer in intercultural writing from 1999 to 2017. Since May 2018, she has collaborated with Arthur Furstenberg to publish the International Appeal to Stop 5G on Earth and in Space. Over 100,000 people, including hundreds of doctors and organizations from more than 170 countries, have signed the appeal. Claire warned the UN Secretary General in person during a meeting about the dangers of 5G, also in May 2018, where she called for a halt to its rollout at UN duty stations. And that was in a video that's gone pretty viral. So, yeah, thank you for initiating that appeal, Claire. Like, that's reached many, many people. You've, like, more than 100,000 now, you and Arthur Furstenberg. So you have really gone from working at the UN for a vast portion of your career to stepping up in a position of leadership in a big way. What's that transition been like?
Well, it's been a big learning curve. Over the last year, I think I've lived about 30 years, because it's been incredibly challenging with amazing ups and downs and challenges, and it really brings you to yourself and it brings out the best in you. So I've met a lot of very nice people. It's brought people together. And it's been an opportunity actually to use all of my skills from the past. So it's been quite a ride, let's say.
Yeah, and that video that we put out, that I helped to release, of you speaking to the UN Secretary General, it's been translated into, what, 5 or 6 different languages now. And you yourself speak many languages. How many?
Well, I speak 4, but I only speak 2 properly.
Okay.
So I found myself now having to speak German because I live in here. So I'm having to talk about electromagnetic radiation and electricity in German. So I'm acquiring some new vocabulary.
Very good. So what happened after that talk, or that comment period in which you noticed verbally the UN Secretary General of the problems of these, you know, high-powered Wi-Fi systems, of the problems of 5G, and he kind of, you know, laughed it off a little bit. What happened since then with the UN, with the Secretary General, and bring us up to speed?
Well, after that, he did nothing about it. I didn't hear from him at all. I wrote a whole series of follow-up emails to the medical service at Vienna, to the staff union. Again, I had already written to them. I wrote to the head of office, the chief of administration, everybody involved, and I never even received a reply. I was at the UN on a Friday evening quite late, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, with my EMF meter, and I thought I would check what the situation was. And again, I found that my meter was permanently in the red in the corridors, exactly as it had been in December 2015. So I found it pretty shocking. So as far as I know, people are still being heavily irradiated. It's not good, and I have notified also my colleagues there, and my colleagues also don't seem to be doing anything. Now, the issue is that, in fact, the computers at the UN are connected by cable, so there is justification for having this Wi-Fi and these devices on the ceiling, these Wi-Fi boosters and cell phone boosters. there's justification for having these things in the conference areas, because of course the delegates would want these connections. But when you use your EMF meter in the conference areas, of course the ceilings are extremely high, so the irradiation is not so bad. But where I was concerned, and I remain concerned, is that the staff work along these corridors with metal walls, and these are public access points. So by definition, they are designed to serve large public areas, and I don't believe they should be installed on very narrow, low-ceilinged corridors with metal walls. Plus, I checked the installation instructions for such public access points. I found that for safety reasons, they are not supposed to be within 20 centimeters of the human body. Well, a slightly taller man would definitely be within 20 centimeters of these things as he walked underneath. So to my mind, they are extremely dangerous.
And so with the international appeal to stop 5G, website, you've gotten tons of response. It's gone viral as well, you could say. What's been the response from that, or has there been any acknowledgement of that appeal even by the UN or other governing organizations?
We haven't yet sent it to the UN or to the WHO or to governments. We have spent some time trying to automate the website, which has taken a great deal of time. I think now it is automated, so now I think would be a good time to send it, especially in view of Elon Musk's 60 satellites, which went up just a few days ago. So I think we will send it quite shortly.
Yeah, it isn't that frustrating? I mean, we hear about Elon Musk's 60 satellites, the first 60 or whatever of that program, being covered on by the media as being this beautiful thing that you can see in the night sky or whatever. And how frustrated are you, Claire, having basically dived in here in these couple of different things, initiatives that we've talked about so far, and we're not seeing the traction happening yet? We're seeing things happen in some countries like, Belgium, Switzerland, cities throughout the U.S., some in Australia, some, small cells getting removed. But how, what is your perspective in terms of like how, confident and optimistic you are, or frustration on the other hand? Where are you at?
I have always been extremely positive. I sometimes wonder why. But there are moments. Of course, the situation changes very rapidly, and there are moments when one's confidence is dented. And one of them would be a few days ago when Elon Musk's 60 satellites went up. But on the whole, I remain extremely optimistic, because I don't even like to talk about 5G, because it's not just mad, it's completely off the scale mad. And as soon as you start talking about 5G in rational terms, you are normalizing it. There is nothing normal about 5G. It should not be happening. And as we know, it's all based on a lie anyway. So I have always been confident that it is so mad that we will succeed in stopping it. But I think that there are various phases involved here. We worked for 4 months on drafting the appeal, and we published it on the 19th of September last year. And then it went viral. So the information spread, and in December there was a bit of a hiatus where I thought by that time something would be happening, there would be some kind of reaction. But in fact what happened was it was picked up by the David Icke website on the 1st of January, and then on the 3rd of January it was published in a tabloid newspaper in the UK. So that was picked up from the David Icke website. And because it was only covered by a tabloid newspaper, we thought that wouldn't go anywhere. But in actual fact, it's extremely interesting that that was picked up around the world. We saw that pop up in South America, we saw it pop up in Morocco, and then we saw that there were questions about what my writing partner, Arthur Furstenberg, had said in the Libération, very, very mainstream quality newspaper in France. So in fact, even though that was a tabloid newspaper, it really went wide. Then RT America, which has recently been attacked by the New York Times for covering the 5G issue, RT America picked up, I think, that that tabloid article quoting Arthur Furstenberg, and they started covering 5G. And I know that their first two pieces that they did were actually based on our appeal. And then since then, they've gone on and they've done various other pieces also on 5G. But the mainstream media does not cover the dangers of 5G at all. I mean, you will see nothing other than positive reports in the mainstream media. So you have to rely on other means for this message to come through to people. So through the appeal, through the RT America coverage, through various other means, social media, YouTube videos, etc., the message has come through to people. So I would say that I started seeing action about, let's say, about 3 months after that. People started getting into gear and you started seeing people coming together and starting to talk about what action they could take. And I see that movement really accelerating. And I always knew that it would take time for the information to come through to people and for people to get into gear. Now, in my position, I see myself very much in an international position by virtue of my background and where I live. And so I tend to cover what's happening in the neighboring countries in Europe. And I really see a lot of action.
Well, tell us about that. Let's dive into what is happening within, because you're in Central Europe, you're in Austria, right? And we know that there's things happening, like as mentioned, in Switzerland, in Belgium, Russia, Italy. Like, help us, bring us up to speed, if you could, about Europe and about, you know, other countries, if you like. We, and I will just quickly mention that Raphael Mayheim, who's the Green Party statesman in the canton of Vaud, Switzerland, he's part of this summit, and I had a great conversation with him. Would highly recommend everyone to watch that, because he spells out what's happening behind the scenes, you know, what's happening kind of. He says that within Switzerland, the 5G focus, the health-related focus on 5G, the fact that industry is pushing it up. I had a great conversation with him. Would highly recommend everyone, if you like. We, and I will just quickly mention that Raphael Mayheim, who's the Green Party statesman in the canton of Vaud, Switzerland, he's part of this summit, and I had a great conversation with him. Would highly recommend everyone to watch that, because he spells out what's happening behind the scenes, you know, what's happening kind of. He says that within Switzerland, the 5G focus, the health-related focus on 5G, the fact that industry is pushing it, ramming it through, even though they're passing these moratoriums, that was actually front page news in Geneva, and that's actually on par with the whole environmental discussion around climate change and the different perspectives there. Like, that's a very hot topic in some parts of Europe. So from your perspective, what are you seeing, and what do you anticipate to see?
Well, I think that Switzerland is really significant because the Swiss people are very educated and they're very well informed, and they seem to have more of an open media. And of course, they have several languages. So we're talking Italian, French, and German. So of course, whatever is happening in Switzerland will also go into the neighboring countries that also speak those languages. So I think it is crucial. You say that you've already interviewed somebody from Switzerland, so no doubt he has more up-to-date information from than me. But from my point of view, I thought it was really significant that you had three cantons that adopted moratoria, and then you had a fourth canton, Neuchâtel, that posed questions to the government. And you also had a petition signed by 56,000 people who wanted to request the government to actually debate this in Parliament. And in the face of all that opposition, Swisscom, which is majority owned by the Swiss government, then went ahead the very same week and made a big fanfare of rolling out 5G in 102 locations. So this was really an affront to the Swiss people. Now, it's interesting to note, I've since found out that Swisscom filed a patent in 2004 in which they acknowledged that, that electromagnetic radiation causes DNA damage and chromosome mutations. So there you have it, black and white. Swisscom has rolled out 5G, which is a much more powerful technology and potentially much more damaging technology. They have rolled out 5G on the Swiss population in full knowledge that it will kill.
Yeah, and meanwhile,
I consider that a crime.
It is. It's obviously beyond criminal negligence, you could say. And meanwhile, Swiss Re, the insurance giant, has voiced its clear concerns about the safety of 5G. So this is, it's obviously heating up on both sides, right? It feels like it's like this showdown of corporate agenda, for profit, for control, diminishment of rights, diminishment of health and safety of the people, corporate agenda versus the will of the people, the will of local governments.
This is what is clearly being demonstrated in Switzerland, and that's why I think what's happening in Switzerland is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be picked up elsewhere. You asked me what's going on in the various countries. I don't know everything, but I know that there's been a lot of activity in Spain. We know they had activities around Segovia. We know that there's a lot of activity in Italy. In France, you have the Gilets Jaunes movement, and one of their demands is actually that our appeal should be taken note of and action should be taken on it. So they're very supportive of the appeal. I also know that there's a lot of activity around smart meters. There's a lot of opposition in France to smart meters. So France is extremely active. And again, you have a very, very informed population.
Russia,
the as far as I know, the defense ministry has refused to hand over the frequencies that are required for 5G. So it looks as if Russia will not have 5G until at least 2024. Now, as I understand it, President Putin has talked about 5G going ahead, but it could be that Russia is cautious and they want to see what happens in other countries before they move on 5G. Mm-hmm. Germany, I think there's a certain amount of opposition. In Austria, I have to say that I was quite concerned until recently, because Austria really pushed ahead with the 5G agenda, and the Austrian government claimed to be the first government in Europe to roll out, in Western Europe, sorry, to roll out full 5G across the country. And I'm very well aware of how people here have been affected. But I, until very recently, I really didn't see any organized opposition. There was one gentleman who for a long time has been campaigning about smart meters, but in your case, you moved on from smart meters to looking at 5G because you realized that smart meters are part of the 5G agenda. And this gentleman actually refuses to discuss 5G. So I think that this is quite damaging to the Stop 5G campaign, because people need to understand how this is connected. So this could be one reason why the opposition in Austria has been quite delayed, but I do very much see it happening now. People are organizing, and behind the scenes, things are happening.
What's your thoughts on the minister in Belgium, the minister, I believe, environment and housing for Brussels, her comments and what's happening in Brussels?
Well,
first of all, what can we just summarize what she said, if you remember the details of
that she was not going to give permission for 5G to be trialed in Brussels because she did not want the people of Brussels to be guinea pigs. Now, this is obviously very encouraging, but people in Belgium are skeptical about really whether this is just rhetoric, and actually behind the scenes it's going to happen anyway. Now, I don't know if I should divulge this, but I will anyway. You can cut it out if you wish. But yesterday I talked to somebody whose friend is actually friends with Norbert Hofer, who was the minister here in Austria, who was responsible for rolling out 5G. And he said that if he could not stop 5G, and if he tried to stop it, he would fear for his life. So this gives some indication of the power behind the 5G agenda, which clearly comes from the top. We see it feeding through the UN. We see that it is clearly a global agenda. And the people who are doing this are quite determined to do it, come what may. Now, in my view, it's quite clear that when people take back their power, this will be impossible. The only barrier to that happening is information. The powers that be, or the powers that were, thought that they could roll out 5G without anybody understanding what 5G was. And they were so wrong, because our appeal has reached millions of people at this stage, and I know that millions of people are informed. So it's just a question of time, because everybody is telling everybody else now. So
yeah.
This will be stopped.
You talk about, you know, with your experience in the UN, you and I were talking before this conversation about how the UN is actually, not only are they not stopping or slowing down or, you know, considering health before rolling out 5G, before supporting it, but they're actually integrating it into their various programs. From your perspective, can you summarize what they are doing?
I was not aware when I spoke to the Secretary General that, in fact, he trained as an electrical engineer and as a physicist. So he, of all people, should really understand the dangers of this technology. Whereas, in fact, in that video, he laughed when I brought my concerns to him. And I find it quite interesting that he laughed. You know, he had several minutes to think about what his reaction to my question might be, and he chose to laugh. So I think it's quite significant that he did not reassure me that this technology is safe. And as we know from Senator Richard Blumenthal speaking to representatives of the telecommunications industry, nobody can provide an assurance that this is safe. Now, despite that, the UN is gung-ho moving ahead to push this through all its programs. So at the time that I spoke to the Secretary General, the UN must have been planning the appointment of a panel on digital cooperation, because that panel was appointed just a couple of months later. And this panel on digital cooperation is stuffed with industry insiders. There is no doctor on this panel. There's no environmentalist on this panel. It's all pro this technology. The Secretary General brought out his strategy on new technologies. And this shows you that this agenda is being pushed through every program of the UN. And if you look at these documents, I do not find a single mention anywhere of health issues. So there is no consideration of this at all. And as we know, this is based on a lie, which I'm sure you've discussed with the other people that you've interviewed. This is based on the lie of the thermal hypothesis. which tells us that there are only heating effects and there are no biological effects to this this 5G technology. So it's then quite interesting to find that, in fact, the World Health Organization held a symposium in 1973. It was Barry Trower, the weapons expert and campaigner against 5G, who drew my attention to this. And it is called The Biologic Effects and Health Hazards of Microwave Radiation, Proceedings of an International Symposium Held in Warsaw in 1973. Now, I don't have the whole document, but the title alone tells you that the UN, the World Health Organization, which is part of the UN, was aware of the biological effects of microwave radiation way back in 1973. And I have here the index to that document, which shows you, there are two pages of this index, which shows you all the biological effects that they were discussing in 1973. And you even have one entry which talks about the non-thermal effects and all the pages on which the non-thermal effects are discussed. So there can be no question that not only the World Health Organization, but also the governments that would have attended that international symposium knew in 1973 about the biological effects. So again, we're talking about a crime against humanity because we have been lied to for over 40 years and now they're rolling out 5G on us, which as we know is a killer technology.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Do you have any perspective on, we hear a lot of talk on online, and a lot of researchers are doing very credible research, I feel, with trying to get behind and comprehend what's happening with the UN, specifically with, we hear, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development, and we can see how smart meters, smart grids, smart cities are part of that, that attempt, you could say, or skewing of a solution to, you know, an environmental problem by implementing technocracy, by implementing greater control, by taking away people's rights. We see this a very similar thing happening, a very similar feeling to 5G. Do you have any thoughts about UN Agenda 21 or 2030 or any of that side of the conversation?
When I worked for the UN, I worked for the Conference Management Service. So we are all linguists and conference management people. We're not substantive staff. So I was not dealing with the substantive issues at the UN. So I can't comment on that, but I would refer people to some very interesting reports from James Corbett, the Corbett Report, who talks about this sort of thing. And I find those extremely informative.
Okay, good. Switching gears a little bit, in spring of 2019, the Notre Dame Cathedral burned down in France. You have a unique perspective on that. You and I have dialogued about that previously. I'd like to ask you to share how you see that event and the surrounding, you know, details and significance from your perspective of that.
Well, Notre Dame is a symbol for France. It's very much associated with Joan of Arc. It's associated with all the history of France. The monarchs were crowned at Notre Dame. And it has enormous significance because it is the point zero of France from which all the distances in France are calculated. And even before it was a cathedral, it was actually a lighthouse and people could orient themselves on the basis of the location of this lighthouse. So it has enormous symbolism for France. And it was a major national tragedy, and I would say actually an international tragedy, for Notre Dame to be burnt down. Now, what I find quite interesting is that I have a photograph that was posted on Facebook of the President Philippe and President Macron and Prime Minister Philippe that very same evening, who were chuckling as they watched Notre Dame burn. They were sharing a joke at a time when everybody else was struck by this tragedy and in mourning. So really one wonders what was in their minds at the time. You have the Gilets Jaunes movement in France, which is struggling to have their economic difficulties recognized. This is not, the Gilets Jaunes is not just about fuel tax. It started on the basis of a fuel tax, but actually it's turned into a movement for democracy and better living conditions and a more equal society. So it was very insulting to the Gilets Jaunes when within hours of Notre Dame burning down, the oligarchs in France came forward and were vying with each other for how many hundreds of millions they could donate for the reconstruction of Notre Dame. And then various people came forward, architects and people connected with Notre Dame, and they said actually it would have been impossible for this fire to happen because it seems that oak is, after 800 years, it's become sort of fossilized, and we're told that even if you put a match to it, it would not burn. So people said that there are always two people at the cathedral watching out for fires. And so there was a great mystery about how this fire could have happened. And as I understood it, we were told that renovation work was already proceeding. But in fact, the scaffolding had been erected, but no renovation work had actually started at that point. So it is a mystery as to how this fire could have happened. And then the mystery deepens when we discover that, in fact, the parvis, which is the front area of the cathedral, had already been privatized at some earlier point in time. And in fact, plans had been drawn up a couple of years earlier for the sort of privatization and modernization of this area to take place with shops and underground whatever. It would seem that Notre Dame was sort of designated somewhere that certain people wanted to make money out of. Then we have the law was changed. So that it did not have to be renovated and reconstructed as it was, according to UNESCO and National Heritage rules. So they propose to rebuild in some, the Prime Minister described it that it should be rebuilt to conform to the modern era and modern techniques of the modern era, something along these lines. Now, you have to note that in England, there's an agreement between the telecommunications companies and 10,000 churches for the spires of these churches to be used for antennas. So the former architect of Notre Dame has been silenced. He's been told that he's not allowed to talk about the fire and the causes of it and speculate about any suspicions. And proposals have been requested from architects for rebuilding. So one sees various proposals for sort of modernizing the roof of Notre Dame, which the French people are quite outraged about because they would like to see it renovated exactly as it was. But one has to pose the question, at least one of the oligarchs who donated money for the rebuilding of the cathedral is actually the owner of a telecommunications company. So one has to wonder whether, in fact, they want to put antennas, which would not only be potentially dangerous for the cathedral, but also the French people are quite outraged about this as a desecration of a national monument and a national treasure.
Yeah, wow. So Ground Zero, it's symbolic for being the center of, you know, France and perhaps Europe or perhaps the ancient world. Perhaps it's the space holder or a symbol of, you know, spirituality. of these religious traditions. Notre Dame, our mother, you know, Mother Earth, right? This symbol, like what you're suggesting is that maybe there's something else going on behind the mainstream story. And like we've seen time and again, there's agendas and that there are false flags, for lack of a better word. I think most of our viewers are aware of this. But, and then the piece about how, you know, all of these churches and these supposedly sacred sites dedicated to our Creator are converting their symbol, their top sort of antenna, if you will, the symbol of the peak, the apex of that structure, to basically serve the radiating and control agenda, now morphing into 5G, and just how that's been done. I mean, when you think about it, so many churches around the world, you know, are putting in the cross or the spire, like you say, microwave, you know, irradiating technology that is originally military weaponry. Really, it's originally a military weapon. So just seeing that on a deeper level, you know, I appreciate your, it might sound to some of our viewers like it's off topic, but just having a brief look into how some of these world events could be connected is very, very intriguing, I think.
I think it's useful to connect the dots. And when one sees certain actions taken, I think it indicates a certain picture. I can't really speculate beyond that. You have to have the facts. Otherwise you go off into pure speculation.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
We have to join the dots. I mean, this is a desecration. Notre Dame is a desecration of this national monument, and a further desecration, I would suggest, is the cutting down of the trees, which we see taking place everywhere. And you talk about antennas, and this is the association in my mind, because the trees are also a form of antenna, a natural antenna, of course, for the earth energies. And now we see that these trees are being cut down by the thousands. And we see a study at the University of Sussex in the UK, which actually states that tree leaves block these millimeter waves to the tune of 70%, which clearly indicates that this is the main reason why these trees have to be cut down. In addition, if you want self-driving vehicles such as trains, cars, and so forth, you're going to have to cut down the trees. And in fact, this is what we saw suggested or proposed in Britain. The National Rail Network announced that they were going to cut down millions of trees all along the rail network last year. And there was a public outcry, so they said that they were suspending this plan. But we see this everywhere. We see pictures from Romania, from France. Certainly the trees have been cut down in Austria. We know the UK and many other countries. This is also a desecration. The trees are essential to our survival.
Before the call, we were talking about the importance of shifting to a perspective, let's say, Claire, of acting without attachment to the outcome. You do what's right because it's right, because it gives us almost like an inner liberation. It frees, it connects our heart and mind, or it frees our conscience, it lightens our load, and then we can do what we feel is right without needing a certain specific result, and sometimes even without knowing the how, right? Can you talk a little bit about that in this shift that perhaps we're being asked to make? Because we can't guarantee a specific success or a specific result in this movement or in any of the, you know, the tremendous intensity, I guess, that's happening on the planet right now. Like we're kind of in uncharted waters here. Talk to us about that.
I think we're totally in uncharted waters. I think we've seen the collapse of the rule of law, which I know that you referred to recently. We've seen in every area of life, we have seen our trust in our institutions exploded. We heard that Monsanto had a black ops department where they were killing journalists and others who opposed their plans. We've seen massive accusations of paedophilia against the Catholic Church right across the world. We've seen Julian Assange attacked. Now, the WikiLeaks documents, none of those documents was proved to have been false. So Julian Assange has done a tremendous job in bringing forth the truth, and now he's being crucified for it. So there are many areas in which we see that the rule of law has collapsed. I mean, 5G in itself goes against the rule of law. It's against the precautionary principle. It's against EU law. It's against international law. It's against human rights. It's immoral, apart from anything else.
Experimenting without consent.
Absolutely. It's against the Nuremberg Code, which forbids experimentation on humans without consent and information. So I think that people for a long time have known that something was terribly, terribly wrong with our system. And now the evidence is black and white. So people really have to wake up now and realize that we cannot go to leaders anymore. We cannot look to authorities anymore, because who is doing this? It's actually the politicians, the leaders, the authorities that we have looked to in the past. So we cannot expect them to stop this 5G agenda. So we have to look to our own resources. And that's why I'm very much in sympathy with you and your Take Back Your Power movement, because 5G is a wonderful opportunity to be who you really should be as a human being. 5G is an annihilation event, potentially. So you are faced with your own death. And what are you going to do when you have that realization? Of course, it's absolutely terrifying. But when you move beyond it, you realize that it's an opportunity. Now, I find it very interesting personally that the people who recognize this fully are the spiritual people. It's very much the spiritual people who are stepping forward on this. And the people who are very much trapped in our current paradigm don't seem to be able to see it. Yeah? But the spiritual people, this is a challenge to be the best of yourself, because you cannot look to anybody else to solve this, and nor should you. I think it's very much a personal responsibility, and these challenges force you to look inside and fall back on your own resources, and they force you to grow. I think in normal circumstances, with something less dire than 5G, you hope that somebody else more qualified will perhaps step forth to deal with this. You know, somebody who's better educated than me, somebody who is more experienced than me, somebody who has more knowledge than me. But in these circumstances, frankly, you have to go with what you've got. You know, they're rolling out 5G now. So, you know, whoever you are, whatever you can do, you've got to look to your own resources and do that. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you don't have any qualifications, well, just go and tell other people about it. That's fine, you know, if you lack the skills. But whatever it is that you can do, you should now be stepping out to do it. So I really see this as very much a spiritual opportunity, because we are effectively raising our consciousness with this. We're coming together. You know, 5G I see as anti-life, anti-love, anti-compassion, anti-family, anti-connection, anti-God, anti-sacred, anti-everything. So what is the solution to 5G? Krishnamurti said that the solution to a problem is always contained within the problem. So what is the solution to 5G? It is then love, compassion, empathy, family, connection, creativity, freedom, all the things that 5G is not. And so who are the experts on all of these things? human beings. So we don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to be anything else. All we need to do is to come back to our humanity. And for me, that means getting rid of your mobile phone. People have to understand that if they want to stop 5G, they're going to have to get rid of their mobile phone. This is something that my writing partner, Arthur Furstenberg, really helped me to understand, that you cannot expect to stop 5G if you want to keep your smartphone, because it's not a question of reducing your use of it. The very existence of that smartphone or any mobile phone is destroying you. It's destroying your children, it's destroying nature, and now we are at very great risk of damaging the ionosphere and destroying the entire planet. So at what cost your phone? I think people have to take responsibility and stop using this technology. That's not to say we won't find a better technology shortly, but right now, if you want to stop 5G, you're going to have to get rid of your phone. And you're going to have to start being responsible and step up to the plate and do something about this. This requires everybody to take action. This is one of the things, coming back to what you asked me about the UN. I have talked to my colleagues at the UN extensively about this, and frankly, I don't see them taking action to do something about it, which I have to say is quite disappointing.
Yeah, well, in our human adolescence of our species, let's say, where we're resisting stepping into responsibility. We want the rights, but we're resisting this sort of self-responsibility. Sometimes we need a good talking to by our mother. And so I think that you really embody that in a beautiful way, in a very impactful way. You know, that just bring that reality check, that kind of a parent figure who cares, can give you. So thank you for, you know, challenging us on that, on the level of commitment and where we draw the line, what we truly stand for, what builds the life within us and around us, what's important. You know, like you said, the antithesis of what 5G is about, like focusing on that, and it's from that place that our actions can have deeper impact and meaning, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so how...
I see 5G as the opportunity for bringing in the new paradigm.
What is the new paradigm?
Oh, the new paradigm is not the old paradigm. The old paradigm is where we are now. The old paradigm is the materialist reductionist paradigm that we've had for just about 2,000 years, and it's based on a false reality. It's based on a mistake. Now, this is one of my themes. I used to teach intercultural competence, and I've lived in a lot of countries, and I've worked with international people. So if you like, I've been quite deprogrammed when it comes to cultural things, because when you realize that in one culture they do it this way, but in another culture they do it that way, and then in my case, I've been to many cultures where I know that they do it in very different ways. So logic is not necessarily logic when you move to another culture. So people who buy into the materialist reductionist paradigm tend to believe that it's universal. It's so obvious, like logic, it's universal and it applies everywhere. But not so. I would say that probably most of the cultures of this world do not buy into this paradigm. And in fact, because I have quite an open mind, certain people have shared certain things with me, and they've told me that they wouldn't normally share that with a white European person, because that person probably would ridicule them for sharing those things. But I really see that the collapse of everything, people are very frightened by what is happening, and it is very frightening to see everything you've believed in, everything you've trusted, collapsing in front of your eyes. And this is really what is happening. But I think that is a natural evolution. We have come to the end of that materialist reductionist paradigm, and it has run its course. And for me, 5G is the ultimate expression of a set of wrong thinking you can only reach the point where you believe that this is a solid reality. You can only reach the point where you have to have a complete destruction and a control system. I think it's also an expression of the culmination of the 40 years we've had of the neoliberal economics, which has brought us to this, because basically neoliberal economics is actually a kleptocracy. And everything that could be stolen has now been stolen. So the only remaining thing is the consumption of the consumer, him or herself, which is what we have with 5G and big data. So it's, we've had the commodification of everything with this paradigm. Everything that, can be measured has a price tag on it. All that cannot be measured is considered of no value. And what cannot be measured, of course, is the list that I've just given you. Life, love, empathy, compassion, connection, family, community. None of these things can be commodified and sold. So they are regarded as having no value. But in fact, as we know as human beings, that these are the only things that have value. And in fact, everything that has a price tag has pretty much no value. So I think we've reached a point where 5G is a culmination. So it's also a control system. So it's a mind control system and also a physical control system. And in that respect, I think it's about the kleptocrats being able to keep the money that they've stacked up in their tax havens. Yeah? So it's about them protecting themselves. So people have to understand what 5G is. 5G is a very ugly and terrifying thing. And what it is one thing, but its function is something else. So its function is to raise awareness, bring people together, bring back our human values and our humanity, and reestablish a new paradigm, bring in a new paradigm where we can rethink everything. And I would hope that people would not turn to any template that they might find in the current paradigm. So I don't want to talk about new systems or new structure or new organizations, because I think what we're actually doing now, coming together to combat 5G, is we are actually, the process of coming together to combat 5G is actually the solution to 5G. So I would put it like this. In the West, we tend to look at the objective of what we're trying to do, and we tend to disregard the process. This would be the opposite in China and Japan, where they would very much value and pay attention to the process. So hence, because you have this thinking in the West where you're concentrated on the objective in terms of getting rid of 5G then seems to be absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah.
God, it's a global agenda. Wow, there are some fabulous powers behind it. That must be impossible. We cannot do that. But I would say that the process of combating 5G, which is what we are all experiencing now, is a coming together, a feeling of community, a feeling of love, a manifestation of the new paradigm. We're actually already building the new paradigm as we combat 5G, which I find absolutely fascinating. So for me, this is, I think even the process of combating 5G should not be about structures, organization, or systems. It should be about each individual being faced with this potential annihilation event, coming back to him or herself, and really becoming fully who they should be without the programming, without... without any constraints, coming to their authenticity and their full power. And when that happens, I believe that you have then changed the world. because this is precisely what is wrong, is that people believe they have no power because they don't really understand what they are, which is infinite consciousness.
Wow, thank you. That was so well said. I was like, it's like
David Icke there, but you know.
Very well said. So it's like at the individual or the social level, this we're tapping in, even as part of this conversation, as part of this summit, we're tapping into this, you could call it a self-organizing principle, perhaps, that we don't, there's no structure, there's no template, there's no predefined outcome in the how. We are the how, right? So it's a paradigm shift for sure. So
and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful process because I've been part of this process for a year. And as I said at the beginning, one faces numerous and repeated challenges. And you have to face each challenge, and it forces you to trust the process more and more and more. And all I can say is, as far as I'm concerned, this is unfolding beautifully.
Thank you. And as we come together and the community that's going to unfold during and from this summit, I'm going to evolve out of that. You know, I want to honor you. Thank you for being part of the team. Thank you for being part of the advisory team and being part of this.
Thank you, Josh, for everything that you do. As I say, we're now a community. We're an unexpected and spontaneous community. Really beautiful about this, you know. I'm now meeting people from many different countries, and we're thinking along the same lines. I really see so much positivity, so much spontaneity, and so much energy and love amongst all the people I meet. It's such a privilege, actually, to be doing this.
Yeah, very good. I totally agree, and I want to thank you for your intentional action and your time and your sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.